I'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us tonight, Vingrove Baptist Church Midweek Bible Study. I hope and pray you join the worship with us in spirit and in truth. Tonight, I want us to look at some faith builders within our life. Now, and then as we're looking at that, we will understand more about the reason we talk so much about faith, the power of faith. And when we share the topic of faith, so often we don't share the building process of faith. When you walk into the world, walk into any kind of battles within the world, whether it's military-wise or any other kind of battle that you walk into, you realize that as you walk in there, you have to have faith in something or someone to walk out. Well, for us Christians, that faith is in Jesus Christ, is in God's love. So tonight, I wanted us to look at some faith builders, going to give us a little preview of the future that we have. And as we look to the stars tonight, Randy and I was talking the other day. We do that ever so often. And we're talking about, and I said, Randy, because he brought it up, I think, with Sunday night on the stars or whatever, and I said, yeah, and God knows every name of each one of them. So anyway, I thought that I would teach this tonight and give us a little refresher course on the world or the universe or the existence that we are a part of. We have no idea how complex God's creation is. We have no idea how far-reaching it is. But one thing we will learn tonight, and that is that our future is everlasting. Now, we build for our future on earth in the human condition, but we realize that as we're building for our future, we're building the home for our families, we're protecting, we're doing our journey through life, yet we know our future on earth is limited. And you're not going to be able to work your whole life, even though you feel like you have worked your whole life. At some point in our life, our future is either made good or bad. But God says, I'm going to show you a future that's never ending. Now, I love that kind of future. And in that kind of future that we're going to be looking at, you're going to see how God has built this future for those who call upon the name of His Son, for those who look to the heavens. If you're looking for the answers of your life, are we not told to look to the skies? Look up, for your salvation draws near. Thomas doubted Jesus. That's one of Jesus' disciples. But he doubted him up until he saw him after the resurrection. Before he saw him, he had a lot of doubts. So let me read again John 20, verse 29, Gospel of John. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. And remember, I've taught this scripture many times. When you see blessed there, it is a focus of how much more blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway. Now, if you will think of that and are relating it to us, we're the ones that is talking about it. And all the other of the New Testament church since the birth of Christ, the beginning of the end of the age. Therefore, we believe and we've never seen. And we are going to be so blessed. Well, we're so blessed anyway, and what the blessings that I see are so gracious of God to even give us. You hear me said in prayers a lot of time, thanking Him for even allowing us to come in His presence. You know, there was a time you try to get behind the Holy of Holies or go through the tent or the curtains, and you weren't supposed to be there. I don't care whether you were a priest or who you thought you were. If you went behind those curtains at any point and you were not invited by God to go there, you were dead, period. Remember how they used to tie the rope on the priest's ankle? Yeah, because if he died in there, they knew they couldn't go get him, so they'd drag him out. That'd probably be counted inhumane today, but I don't think the Lord paid much attention to that. And now listen to it. Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." Okay, here's the point I wanted to make on this. Jesus put a higher premium on faith than on visible proof. A higher premium on faith than on the visible proof. I know, Lord, I trust you for my soul, for my eternal life. You don't have to show me, Lord. I believe it. And this is the whole focus of the New Testament church, is that we will live by faith, trusting Jesus, not trusting ourselves, not trusting how much we think we know about Jesus, but we trust Jesus because of who he is, and he allows us to trust him, and he shows us why we should trust him, because he has never, ever let us down, ever, nor will he ever. Number one, on the faith builders, we always look to God's track record. Ours isn't too hot, right? Look to God's track record. Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12. "I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about you." Now, if you go all the way back to, let's say, in Genesis, or you go back to Melchizedek, you go back to the sacrifice that was given, and you will find a scripture that is focusing on back of the ancient times. And so when you read that, you think, really? You're looking at the scripture of ancient times, and God is saying, pay attention to the ancient times that we don't know anything about. We don't even know who Melchizedek was. We don't even know. Many will say that he was incarnate Christ at a particular time and all this. I don't have any idea. Actually, the people who say that don't either. But it doesn't matter. What does matter, there's always been ancient times of ancient times. Well, if God has always existed, why wouldn't there be? Oh, God did not give us the Bible to give us a history lesson. God gave us his word to give us a faith lesson, to let us see. And he says, everything that I'm writing here, I'm doing it for you. For you who? For the New Testament, for the New Testament church, for us who have been so mightily blessed, and so many don't appreciate it. Psalm 52, verse 9. "I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints." You know, you would think there'd be a lot of praising going on in the presence of the saints. You and I need to realize as Christians that praising God, people say, well, you come to church and you come to relax and do this. We come to worship. That's what we come for, to worship together, to fellowship together. Well, we need to praise God among the saints. If I will not praise God among the saints or the saved, I will not praise God out in the open and around people who don't know God, will I? If I will not recognize Christ as my Lord and Savior in his own house, I'm not going to recognize him outside the house, right? So we need to focus on our praise period. Randy does it every Sunday. It's a praise time that we have during our music time, and it's a sermon time. It's a sermon through a song, through music, and through preaching. He throws that in every so often. And it's obvious he's led of God to do it because it fits in. You see, that's what the Lord is saying. You praise my name. Romans 15, verse 4. For everything that was written, here's what I wanted to get to, in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That's a part of the Roman Road teachings, even on if you all went through that study. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. So God placed such importance not only just on his children of Israel, but noticed from the beginning the importance that was placed on the time when the Messiah would come, when the Messiah would be introduced, the Son of God, God incarnate, introduced to mankind, to the human race. Every prophet was given a message from God that points to the time the Messiah will come. And every prophet pointed, this is how you're going to know. Here's what you need to do. What happened? Well, when the time came, it was obvious that the teachers of the law, teachers of old, had not taught the teachers of the new era well enough, or those teachers refused to accept. So therefore, they missed the whole coming of Christ. And Jesus told them, remember another thing that Jesus said? He said a lot of things to the Pharisees, but he said this, if you had truly known my Father, you would know who I am. Because all the prophets, all of what you're teaching tells about me. But what had they done? They had decided that they wanted more attention than to listen to the voice of God. So therefore, from the beginning, we've been in a mess. Have you noticed from the beginning of the human existence, we've messed it up? Adam and Eve? Look at us. We start over again. Who's going to mess it up? God's not going to mess it up. Some human being, and it's normally us, me. I'm going to mess up stuff in my own life. I don't have to worry about my enemies. They don't have to worry about me, because I'll do more destruction to myself than they could ever think about doing. Right? Okay. Here's a second faith builder. Trust God's character and power. Now, Faye had an uncle. Memory came to me. I've told you all this, but you need to hear it again anyway. Phyllis wasn't paying any attention that time. But during a revival service of the old type of revivals, the preacher was walking down and he grabbed her uncle's by the hair of the head and said, I saw you last night in a dream. You get to that altar. And anyway, he did. And he accepted Christ. Here's the problem with all of that. A little while later, it was that preacher that was at the same church. He stands up, and one of the other members of the church, female, stands up and says, me and sister so-and-so have fallen in love. I'm leaving my wife. She's leaving her husband, and we're leaving the church now. Well, that's a country church. You probably better sort of walk fast as you're leaving it after that deal. But anyway, they walked out of the church that way on Sunday. And the uncle came to me and said, My question to you is, am I really saved? And my question to him was, I don't know. Let me ask you something. When you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, did you accept him or did you accept the preacher? Well, I accepted Jesus. I said, Jesus didn't walk out of here with any woman. Your faith is in who Christ is, not on anybody that's led you to him. You don't put one man, woman ahead of another. It is always Christ first. You go back, and how many times you hear me say that? Go back to the beginning. Go back to the time that you remember when you were saved. If go back to the time you remember you were called to preach. I would tell all young pastors, preachers that. Okay, if you said that all hell's broke loose, it's obvious God's not going to use you. Do you remember where it was that God called you? Did you remember that experience? Well, anybody who's been called by God says, yeah, I remember it. And I said, okay, go back to that time. Think in your mind, in your spirit. Was that real or not? Yeah, it was real. I mean, when you just mentioned that, yes, that's real. And I said, well, then what's your problem? You know, every Monday, as you all know, the thing is, pastor goes in the office, shuts the door, and pulls out his resignation letter. And he stares at it till noon. And then by noon, he takes it and puts it back in a drawer until the next Monday. And that's always been a joke with pastors. I didn't realize until in the last 10 years that too many of them taken that one serious. But it's the idea of there's always going to be ups and there's always going to be down. You don't have to be a called preacher. As a Christian, you're going to have ups and downs. And let me tell you something, Christian. You are as called to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ as I am, or as Randy is, or as anybody else who you listen to and you know they have the touch, they have that calling. I mean, the light goes on inside of us, you know. But each person knows. I was pulling up scripture again today because I said, oh gosh, I got to get this straight. As whether it's that the old men that saw visions or did they dream dreams, and the young men saw visions. Actually, the young men saw the visions, and the old men dreamed dreams. Daughters would prophesy in this day. Your daughters and your sons will prophesy. That means preach, Brother Randy. They will prophesy. And in this time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what do? We muzzled the very ones that God says, I've called them to preach in this time. This is my time. This is not your time, Southern Baptist. It doesn't have a thing to do with you. It has to do with my spirit touching the heart, and the kingdom of God was established before time existed, and God had this set in place, and at the proper time, this is what's going to take place. So it comes time to take place. What happened? Well, for one thing, that young boy, he's just too young. He don't need to be standing up there talking about the Lord. And you know there better not be a female up there. Oh, gosh. I grew up listening to that stuff until my mother straightened it out with the guy that, when she had her pantsuit on, going to Edna Grove Baptist Church. And my uncle, or great uncle, wasn't too great. Well, Helena, I guess that you decided to dress like a man now. Well, Uncle Aaron, I reckon I didn't have a choice. When the kid's dad died, I had to become both a man and a woman. He never opened his mouth with her again, and she kept wearing the pantsuits. I think she did that more to aggravate the uncles. And anything else. But we see how tradition and all can get completely out of whack. Why am I bringing that up? Faith building, folks, is on my trust in what Jesus says. Now, Randy and I have talked this week also. Our theme on next year is going to continue Set My Soul Afire. But it's going to be Set My Soul Afire, and we're going to be looking at the words in red. But to set my soul on fire, I told Faye, I said, when you're fixing up all the ads and all of this, set my soul afire until somebody gets their soul set on fire. It has to be when the church comes back to the foot of the cross. You and I don't know what people are looking for. As a pastor, we pastors could sit down and we'd talk and, what is going on? I don't know. Well, what do you think they are looking for? Well, they don't know. I know. But what has gotten to the point to where that the Lord tells us to look to Him, but if what the Lord is wanting us to look at, I didn't get to go to Hawaii in the First Baptist Church. If we don't pay attention to where He tells us to look, He's not going to bless it. Folks, He's not going to bless it. My ministry had been blessed. I don't deserve to be in the ministry. I didn't deserve to be called into the ministry. It was all by pure grace. And when some of my friends would say, well, no. Now look, I'm too humble. Oh gosh, I remember his name too. I'm too humble a person to accept the call because I don't deserve it. And I thought, that didn't sound too humble to me. Did you? Nah, that's bragging about your failures. Listen, folks, none of us deserve the grace of God. But you and I, we have been given the calling. If we have accepted Jesus, Lord and Savior of our life, you've been called to preach and to teach. Now, you might do it in a different way than I do or Randy does from the pulpit. You may do it a different way, and you will. Do you know why? Because your voice, everyone's voice, is individually picked by God to connect with other people of like mind, of like loving that voice, loving the way, Gene, that you put it out, like you say, I love you, I care about you, here's how we're going to teach the kids and all of this. And see, those kids then hear the words of Jesus. They're not paying any attention as to whether male, female, or whatever. You know what they really pay attention to? If they see love in the eyes of those who are rightly dividing the Word of God. Why do you think that the kids want to come here? That, you know, it's the children. So, well, one family up in the back said, gosh, we can't miss. The kids are waking us up, telling me it's time. You ain't going to make me late for children's church. You know, waking me up. We're going to church.
Yeah. The little one, I saw him as it left out there the other day, and he ran up and hugged me around my leg. And that just melts my heart.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're not members. No. You had told me that.
And
no, but after, yes, he was baptized here, but not members. They moved their membership. Okay. They went to a church. But anyway, I've talked to him. And yes, and we have several families that are looking. What do they look for? Acceptance and somebody. It's the same thing a child does. Acceptance and someone that loves. They don't care whether you've got a dime or not. They want someone that will just look at them and spend time. They want your time. They want you to pay attention to them. Why do we think so many kids, you know, start little fusses and fights.
We need to learn their names.
Yeah. Yes. The kids' names. Yes.
The mom and dad's names.
Yeah. And the faces, if you could have seen it Sunday, or you did see them, on when the dedication of our children that we lost last year, yeah. Those names, and how much that truly meant to them. See, that's what we're to be about. We don't have time for all this foolishness of the world and the bickering and all that stuff. I don't have time for any of that. There are lost people out there, but there are saved people out there that don't feel like they belong. Well, they do. I was one of those snotty-nosed kids. I mean, good gracious, folks. And, you know, you could tell by the way you walk in a storm his parents don't have any money. He's nothing. He's got, and you know, even as a child, you'd get that feeling. All I wanted was someone to love, and someone to love me back. Oh well. And then, what did I end up doing? Got down on the Nolan River and found my woman, my wife. Oh gosh, number to trust God's character and power. Oh God, your ways are holy. Psalm 77:13. Did I get the other read? I'm sorry. Or do you all even remember?
You didn't read
it. Romans 15:4.
Yeah, you read it.
Okay. The next one is trust God's character and power. That's before I started preaching. Psalm 77:13-14. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of miracles and wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who trust in Him. Here's something to remember on your little tidbit down there. Even when God's hands cannot be traced, that's, you don't see His hands on the situation, His heart can still be trusted. See, His heart becomes a part of your heart. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to have the answer. I don't have to know how everything really worked in this salvation thing. I don't have to understand that. I have to believe it. And I do. Isaiah 40, verses 25 and 26. To whom will you compare me? This is God speaking. And when God would speak, the people would listen. Okay, gosh, remember when God would thunder from the heavens? I guarantee you, you would pay attention. I'm thinking of Martin Luther when he was on that road and the thundering and lightning, and he'd begging God, and I'll save me, save me, save me, and I'll do whatever you call me to do. I'll do whatever you call me to do. Isaiah 40:25-26. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Woo! Ha! Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. So here we go. We go into the scientific look. Are we ready?
Yes.
All right. Just a fraction of the awesome power of God. These are excerpts that I took from the book The Universe in 365 Days. So for those of you who are listening and those who are here that can't read, because I have it too small, I'm going to read it. Let's begin by just talking about the sun, S-U-N, the disk that hangs in the sky 93 million miles from here. By comparison to other stars, now listen to this, it's just an average-sized star in the galaxy of the Milky Way. That's our galaxy. Or it was. Did they change it yet, Reddy? Okay. We know the sun is exactly the right distance away from planet Earth to sustain life. And we know it because if it were 100 million miles away, we would freeze to death. If it were 80 million miles away, we would burn up. The sun is 333,000 times the size of planet Earth. Its heat is so intense, it's like a billion nuclear bombs going off every second on the face of the sun. Its heat is also so intense that it only takes 8 minutes for the heat to leave the surface of the sun till it touches your skin here on planet Earth 93 million miles later. It hangs in the sky as a testimony to God's power. It was made by God. It was made for God. It is an advertisement. It is a billboard that says, look, here is the glory of God on display. Every time it sets, it says to you and me, and I'll be back tomorrow to show you that God is still a faithful God. Then we're going a little further. Let's go a little bit further out of the star, out to the star Betelgeuse. It is not the movie, Phyllis. Betelgeuse. Oh, and by the way, these names that I'm calling star, these aren't God's names. Okay, now these are the scientists naming. I don't remember scripture calling Betelgeuse. Do you, Randy? Okay. But anyway, this is what our scientists say. Well, I got news for them. The scientists are using an alias. God's the one who named them. Let's go, and I bet you the scientists can't remember all the names they gave them. Yeah, let's go a little bit further to the star Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse is 600 light years away from Kentucky right now. I did want to get that pretty close, okay. 600 light years. How many light years? Okay, 186,000. Okay, here we go. It is 1,000 times the size, not of Earth, but 1,000 times the size of the sun. If it were in the Milky Way galaxy, it would stretch all the way out to the planet Jupiter. Now, most of us cannot picture that, but neither could we picture 1,000 times the size of the sun. To just give you some perspective, though, of how far away this is, that God put this in the universe, how fast does light travel? 186,000 miles per second. It's about the only thing I remember in science class. That means light in a year will travel 5.88 trillion miles. Well, if that were dollars, it would only be a fourth of the debt. Okay, 5.88 trillion miles. Multiply that by 600, and you can get to the star Betelgeuse. I'm going to wait till I got the heavenly body.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let the Lord send me out there. Right now, I'm not going to get in any kind of capsule and let them shoot me up and say, we want to see if you come back. How about one more? The spiral galaxy. Now, the spiral galaxy, 30 million light years away. Again, it sets perpendicular to the Earth so we can see the beautiful spiral patterns in this particular galaxy. Scientists conjecture, but some of them believe, the ones who are believing this are the ones who are probably the Christian, that there is as many stars in the spiral galaxy as there are grains of sand on the planet Earth. Now, this, look how awesome that is. And you don't remember what they just ended up finding with the telescope. No, because the scientists didn't count them. They just said, well, there's a whole lot out there. That's like a little boy that was trying, they'd ask, how old do you think Santa Claus is? And he's really, really old. Oh, he's 16. It's all in perspective. Okay, our third one on this is celebrate our awesome endless future. That's how our faith grows. Celebrate our awesome endless future. Our future will never end. And it's going to be a perfect one. That's a part of the perfection of our future through Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So it's obvious that the mind cannot conceive of the great expanse, period, with it. Titus 2, verse 13. We are filled with hope as we wait for the glorious return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now listen to this story. Jim Collins, in his book, Good to Great, recounts a fascinating discussion he had with Admiral Jim Stockdale. Jim was the highest-ranking military officer as a POW in the camp that affectionately became known as the Hanoi Hilton. From 1965 to 1973. He was in that camp and tortured more than 20 times with unimaginable brutality that has left him crippled today. When Jim Collins asked the Admiral, how did you make it through those times of uncertainty in the camp? Listen to what the Admiral said. I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted that not only would I get out, but also I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining event of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless. Good night.